right, good day, everybody. Welcome to yet another Psalm session. I'm excited to be here. My name is Miles, and another guy who's always excited to be here is...
Hey, it's Brent here.
Hey, Brent, who is joining us today?
We have another good longtime buddy of mine, Jamie Petrie, who plays around town with an awesome band called Crank the Band.
Crank the band. Welcome, Jamie. Yep.
You got it. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for giving us some of your time. We'll see if it's worthwhile for you in a couple of minutes. But
likewise.
He'll send us the bill.
Yeah. He'll send us the bill. That's right. Crank the Band. I was stalking you guys a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Miles does this.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got to be well-informed when our guests come on.
That's how we got to two views on our webpage, I think.
I'm
that
both.
Must have been that.
No, I'm both.
No, I'm one of them.
And Brent. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And Brent.
Yeah.
Makes sense now.
Yeah,
so you've got...
Your audience is here.
Your audience is here. Home run. So you've got Shane Tunney, Jerry Schaefer, Len Mancini, and Jamie Petrie.
You got it.
Yeah?
Petrie.
Petrie, sorry.
Yes, like the dish.
We just went over this.
We literally just talked about this.
We covered moments ago.
Yeah.
So here we are, mid-December. We're doing yet another Psalm session. You mentioned Annette. Did you actually, you didn't listen to our podcast though with Annette?
I listened to a little bit of it.
No, that's about all anyone does.
No, I just got busy, but I certainly will listen to it. I'm a huge fan of Annette.
You look at the viewership on Spotify and it's like people open it, listen for about 62 seconds and shut that thing right down.
I'm going to drop that to 34 for you.
Nice.
Let's see what we can do about.
I like where this is going.
We're going to up the average today.
Here
sure.
we go.
We're up
like where this is going. Hey. Christmas time is here again. What's up, Brent? You look super confused.
I'm good.
Is the cords? You having cord problems?
Yep.
So after some of you might remember on the Annette podcast, we had to reshuffle desks around because Brent didn't have enough space. Now I have no space. Can't back up my chair. Feeling claustrophobic. It's all a bit much.
You look good, though. This is a redemption show for me. I think I kind of poked a little bit of unfair fun at you last time. So.
You did. I had to edit a lot of it out because it hurt my feelings so badly that I couldn't bear listening to it again.
Yeah.
But oh well.
We're going to be much kinder to Jamie for sure.
Do you know
he to us.
Do you know how I'm going to get back at
Maybe.
You?
Maybe-ish.
So Jamie, Maybe. Brent loves Christmas music.
Okay.
Loves it.
Full disclosure, I despise.
And something that he loves even more than Christmas music is Christmas music mashups.
Okay.
Now this has been going around. This has gone super viral. This is a guy who he makes mashups of pretty much everything under the sun. Now I want your take on this. What do you think of this, Jamie? Let's give this a little listen. Good old Mariah Carey.
So far, so good, eh?
I dislike it already.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, accompanying Mariah Carey, Marilyn Manson.
Better. Much better.
Now, what do you think of this? This is,
And I don't want you, and I don't need you.
Right?
Don't you resist or I'll beat you.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. Always wrong.
I think it's gold.
I love it. I think this is what they should play in the malls.
100%.
Because a lot of people are feeling this way.
Yeah, 100%. We're already aggressive, right?
Right.
So let's just, feed that. Let's fan the flame.
I think it's fantastic.
It's terrible.
Yeah. If I was ever going to listen to Christmas terrible. Music, this is what it would be. Come on, it's great. And in my house, there is actually continual Christmas music playing at all times. It's not this. It's like... The actual Mariah Carey stuff.
Yeah, I've been playing a little...
there she is.
Playing a little joke on my wife the last number of days. CHFI 98.1 is like all Christmas now for the whole month of December.
Oh, yeah.
So every time I get into her car and I'm driving her car somewhere, before I get out and turn the car back to her, I put it to 98.1 and turn it up nice and loud. So when she gets in the car, it's like full on...
Is she not like a Christmas music? I thought she was a Christmas music.
No, she loves Christmas. It's the music that I think
drives her up the wall, like everybody.
Yeah.
Well, now same guy. Last year,
which same guy?
Did the smash-up thing.
Marilyn Manson.
Well, we just listened. No, Marilyn Manson didn't make that mashup, Brent.
He's not that busy these days. Yeah, maybe he did.
Marilyn Manson was not sitting at home, and he's like, you know what I should do?
My question is, how do you know he didn't actually do that?
Because it's a guy on the internet who did it. It wasn't just Joe Blow. You know, like
maybe it's an alias.
It's an alias.
He didn't want people to know it was.
Thank you, Jamie.
Him.
Knew I loved you.
You're telling me that Marilyn Manson was sitting at home And he's like, I need some more Christmas stuff in my repertoire.
Yeah, I think he was feeling a little blue. And
what else is he doing?
Do you think he called and he's like, hey, Mariah?
100%.
I'm just wondering, like, if you've got a couple of free minutes, do you want to run on over and we'll record a quick Christmas mashup?
Yeah, I think that's exactly how it happened. That's exactly.
She's got to be a big fan. Yeah. A new tour.
Marilyn
spring
Manson
tour.
And Mariah Huge. Carey.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, now this was one he did last year that I kind of like it a little bit more. He loves the Mariah Carey theme.
I see that.
Yeah, he's... Here we go. Tonight, I'm gonna have myself. Like, it's quite well done. You gotta give him credit. I feel alive. This is actually one of my favorite Queen songs, too. No?
Nope, hard no.
Hard no. Brent has a look on his face like he wants to like it.
It might be a secret like that.
Oh, look at the seamless transition into Mariah. That was beautiful. Is this how you sound, Jamie?
Exactly. Like
nice.
That. Is this all the time we have for the show today?
Yeah, we're just going to listen to this. Yeah! No?
No.
Come on. It was not that bad.
You told me this wasn't going to be painful.
I know. Well, so far, it's been quite painful.
Look at the time. I got to go. I mean,
take your hat and your stuff.
You.
And
perfect.
Fine. We'll talk about something a little bit more near and dear to Brent's stomach. Christmas dinner. So we were talking about this. Brent and I were actually talking about this before we started recording. About Christmas dinners and like what is considered to be a traditional Christmas dinner and how do you... deem the traditional side of it. Christmas dinner is not Christmas dinner without pierogies and cabbage rolls. My sister has a great thing she does. We've dubbed it the Christmasserole. Because, you go, it's always, you go up for your first plate of Christmas dinner and everything's like very nicely laid out and you've got your turkey and your stuffing and everything's there. By round two, she will just dump everything into like a mountain.
Yeah.
And we call it the Christmasserole and she will just go for the Christmasserole, which I like doing that too. You just mix it all.
Yeah, well, it's going to end up that way in your stomach anyway.
So what's a traditional Christmas dinner look like for you, Brent?
Well, we have Christmas Eve from the Polish side of my family. And so, similar to your Ukrainian tradition, we have a very traditional Christmas Eve. It's pierogies. We've put some fish in the mix there, too. Even though we're not supposed to, we even have like a little bit of Polish kibasa from Beach Road Meats, which is killer.
Why are you not supposed to do that?
Yeah, what?
Well, it's supposed to be no meat.
What?
Why?
Yeah, it's a thing.
That's
who said that?
Yeah, that's not a thing.
The Three Kings never said it.
No.
Jesus never said that. What kind of crazy tradition is this?
So this should be the litmus test for everything. If Jesus didn't say it, then it's fair game, right?
Here's some frankincense, myrrh, and red meat.
Okay, so thank you for... this is a great segue. You've opened this up to me because I've been long advocating... with great respect, we have a lovely Christmas Eve dinner that we have with my in-laws and extended family, and very traditional, something we look forward to it every year. But I've been advocating hard, let's add like poutine to the dinner.
There you go.
I'd like a poutine, maybe some hot
sauce. Pretty Canadian.
Some
hot sauce.
Just mix it up. I mean, the Polish sausage is first and foremost.
Oh, yeah, and Beach Road Meats. I don't know if you've ever had Beach Road Meats kibasa, but it's insane.
And Springer's, too. I got a plug for Springer's. Like, unbelievable.
Nice.
Shocked.
This podcast brought to you by
Springer's.
Springer's and Beach Road
Meats. It's fair game. You can actually drop any brand name you want on the show.
And then they'll sponsor us.
Yeah.
Crankthemand.com
is
our website.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
I'm only kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. Yeah.
I want the views to go up to 6, okay?
Jamie's over there like, when does this become about me?
No, trust me. I'm fine. This is good.
Yeah. So here's another question for you, Jamie. There's a very traditional way to prepare the turkey.
Oh,
your Christmas dinner turkey or Thanksgiving for that matter, even Easter. Let's throw all the holidays
in there. Don't do the Easter turkey.
No.
No.
We do.
We don't actually do Easter anything.
Yeah, well, enough about you.
Okay.
So alternate ways to prepare a Christmas turkey. Have you ever had a deep fried turkey?
I have. I didn't like it.
No, you look disappointed when you said that.
I didn't like it.
Really?
I had huge hopes for it. I'd heard
my
brother was all about it. And my brother's a phenomenal cook.
Yeah.
And he was just raving about how amazing
really
these deep fried turkeys are. And That was before I saw all the YouTube videos of people lighting up the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
see
yeah,
it go, yeah. Go awry, it's awful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, it's like having a fondue, like hot oil is
yeah,
a
yeah.
terrible yeah. idea. Really. See, I've had yeah. a couple of deep fried turkeys and I've really nice crispy skin, still juicy inside.
Yeah.
See, the look you have on your face right now is the look I had when the Mariah Carey mashups were being
exactly.
Cooked.
Exactly.
How long do you deep fry it for?
I don't know. I've haven't
actually, like 45 actually minutes.
Made one. No. I've been a
is
guest.
Is it like 45
It's crazy
minutes?
Fast. Yeah, that's is, one of the selling quick. Points about it is yeah, it's so is quick, right? You can yeah. cook a great big turkey for a lot of people in a short time. But
yeah,
it just felt to me that, you know, when you're eating something and you're going, is this cooked?
Oh,
I don't,
yeah.
I don't know. I just yeah. felt myself. It was just, it was weird. I didn't like it. Greasy. I got to try another one.
Like, is it that's not fair. Greasy?
No. That's the crazy thing is it wasn't. It was actually moist and juicy.
Like,
and
I'm
nice.
Just picturing a thing that comes out of a bucket looking like a giant piece of KFC.
Yeah, no, it's not. No, not even a bit.
No.
Like, not even a bit. So we go traditional at your house. It's, you know, turkey roasted in the oven, all the trimmings.
We're about as munja cake Christmas as you can get.
Nice.
Yeah, total. Not only just a traditional boring turkey, but we yeah. actually love the butterball pre-stuffed.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
cooked
yeah, yeah.
from frozen.
Yeah.
Brain dead easy.
Yeah, keep it
rinse it in water a little bit and take the weird neck off, which still grosses me out.
Yeah, I don't
and know. Then, yeah, there's no stuff in it. There's no, you just right in the oven and it's
yeah. Awesome. So settle this one, both of you guys here for me.
I know where this is going.
This is also a thing where for some reason unbeknownst to me, in addition to the turkey and the stuffing, we have to have like 17 different vegetables.
Oh, no.
And it makes me like every vegetable on the face of the earth has to be on the table as well.
No.
And to me, it's like veggie overload. I don't like do you stick I to agree. Couple yeah. of three, what do you
three probably yeah
do you rotate them is the same ones
no I think what it's do? Pretty standard I think we do a I don't even remember carrots is obviously
a given
one potatoes is the other assume given one
yeah
I
mean, maybe sometimes green, some green squash, beans or squash
green beans,
or
squash
yeah. Yeah.
No see I mashed potatoes are a must you have
yeah.
to
yeah.
And like I think over the years, we've just like slowly transitioned out the vegetables because once it's all said and done, and like this year, I'm cooking Christmas dinner for 18 people and you get all these leftovers and it's all the vegetables because like no one wants it.
Nobody
no,
eats them.
I think it's actually for 23 people.
Oh, are you guys coming?
Yeah, my family's coming too.
Great.
Yeah. I'm coming too.
And Jamie's coming
so that's,
too.
Especially if there's pierogies and all that
yes.
stuff there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So and, we're four.
And I mean, the cabbage rolls
five.
Are like, there's vegetable on cabbage. It's... But we'll do like diced carrots and then, you know, just because you don't want to be too healthy, you just chuck in the brown sugar and glaze those suckers.
Got it.
And you've got your sugar covered vegetable.
So let's just rewind a little bit here. And we both just said we're coming as well, which ups the ante to 28.
Yeah.
And you just completely ignored that and kept talking about vegetables.
No, that's fine. You are all welcome.
Okay.
Yeah,
done.
You are all most welcome. So where are we going with this? Oh, turkeys. Yeah. So I was like you. I used to do the butterball turkeys, but then I experienced the joy of fresh turkey and like never frozen. Like the little dude had his head on the day before and now I can't go back.
Yeah,
I can't. Like, so we order. And I mean, for 18 people, it's like a dinosaur that we've just ordered and it comes in on Christmas Eve. He was walking around the day prior,
mm-hmm.
and he's from a farm out.
Yeah, roaming the earth.
Brant. Yeah.
Breathing fire, all the stuff.
Breathing fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I can't go back. Love it's it. Once you've had like Love that it. Fresh, never frozen, I just can't do it.
Love it.
But I'm all about like I will cut little holes in the skin and like shove butter under there, and then you don't have to baste it for starters. And then it's just your typical kind of, you know, sage and... Well, it's the old Simon and Garfunkel song, poultry, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
There you go.
That's how you know how to season any kind of poultry.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's going to be delicious, and we're going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
We'll have you all there.
Yeah. Can I sit next to Jamie?
100%. 100%.
I'm a lefty, so don't bub elbows.
Not a problem.
Ooh, my daughter's a lefty. We'll sit you two together.
Perfect.
Yeah,
and then everything's good.
That's what you do.
I'm curious, like, what is your Christmas Eve? What does that look like for you guys?
It's busy. We've got a number of traditions. Friends of ours, the Sagans, a French-Canadian family who we absolutely adore and have always treated us like their
They're not
own.
Listening. It's okay.
Well, I'm going to send it to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I make sure they listen.
They're new listeners.
Got it.
We've been going there since I've met my wife, and she's been going long before that. And it's the tortiere, and you know, the guitars come out, and we drink, and we eat, and they sing. They're amazing musicians, all of them. They
love it.
They don't even realize how great they are. And so that's a big stop for us, and a couple of other stops. We usually do about two or three stops. We're going to Brent and Amanda's now.
Yeah.
So you're one of these roadshow.
We're a roadshow. And then the perfect finish is our next door neighbors. We moved about 8 years ago and totally won the neighbor lottery, and they've been having an open house for years and years. Nice. So we finished there and drank most of his whiskey and then walked next door. And
yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Love it. Then Christmas Day, what, you get up about 3-4 in the afternoon?
About
then,
that or? Now. Yeah. 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 That's about it. The kids have never been ones to wake us up early, which is God bless them. It's
beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah.
We just do like finger foods and stuff on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And
nice.
That's typically when I'm like finishing my shopping and wrapping stuff.
Finishing. Aren't you starting?
Starting my shopping. Okay. My folks come and stay with us every Christmas Eve, and we get into the unspoken power struggle of will I or my father read the night before Christmas every year. And we kind of let my daughter, Alora, pick, and she's now 10. And I remember last year I was like, so Alora, who's going to read this? And you, like, my dad and I like locked eyes across the room and we're like, she's going to pick me. And then she picked my dad, and I didn't think that it was going to impact me, but my therapist said it really did.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out this year. What's your Christmas Eve, Brent? Another roadshow guy?
It's all Polish all the time. We go down to my in-laws' house and just kick back and have some pierog and
pierog.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a plum pierogi?
I have not.
Oh boy,
I have not.
I haven't heard of that.
It's a game changer. It's more like a sweet, kind of almost desserty type thing. But
I'll have to add that to the list. Jamie, do you have any gigs through the holidays? Do you typically play at that time of year? Is it you kind of take a bit of a break?
Usually not. We do a the band does a an annual pre-Christmas ugly sweater /
nice.
Food drive fun gig at Pub Fiction in Ancaster. I think you were at last year.
We've come a couple times. Did it happen already? Did I miss it?
No, it's Friday the 20th of December. So it's usually the last Friday before Christmas usually is when that happens. And so that's a really fun night.
Yeah.
And then I'm playing solo on the 27th at Blue Collar Pub, which is like I can walk from there.
Nice.
So, I mean, I extra love that place.
Yeah,
I might. If it's not snowing, I just might walk home from that one.
Yeah, you should.
But other than that, it's a little bit quiet over
there. Yeah, your Pub Fiction gigs are always fun. We've come up a couple times to see those. And once we got stuck in that table that is the car, the steam whistle beer car.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing like sitting in a bar and you've got
I've heard of this
everybody
place.
Is looking at you because like you're sitting in this we actually asked to move like it was I felt really, really yeah it was awkward it was
we are different people because I would be like excuse me could you kick that family out of the car so I can sit there
yeah it's been a couple of years due to other things happening since we've seen you at that gig, but the last time I think was 2 years ago. You actually sang Happy Birthday to my lovely wife.
I did.
Yeah, her birthday is the 22nd of December. So it's
right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. That's my sister's birthday.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Weird.
Yeah.
Hey. So I'm going to segue us away from Christmas because this is just too long.
Yeah.
Jamie. We want to hit you with a couple. We want to talk to you a little bit about some musical things that you're up to and where you kind of started and all that kind of stuff. But before we do that, we want to get to know you.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to hit you with a bit of a lightning round Q&A.
Okay.
Some of these are a bit ridiculous. Some of them are all right.
No, let's be honest. Most of them are ridiculous.
Yeah, they
are.
Okay, good. Brent, you want to start it off?
Sure.
Okay, hit them.
What's the first concert you ever attended?
Oh, geez. Duran Duran.
Oh, I love that.
Nice.
Maple Leaf Gardens, 1980s. Yeah. I want to say 87.
I love that.
No. That wasn't even 87. It was...
It's got to be earlier. It's probably like 83 84, or 84.
83, that's 84, yeah. I'm going to say 84.
Amazing.
I was like in grade 7.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey.
Actually, we thought we were in the Reflex video, by the way.
You thought
we were pretty sure. Like, we looked at him, we're like, we're sure that's right where we were sitting.
Yeah.
You could tell people it's you.
Well, yeah, we did our whole life. This is the first time I ever even put a question.
Yeah, I'd be like, that's me right
You guys were hanging out backstage after the show, the whole,
you know, right? Grade 7 doing coke with it. No, I'm just kidding.
Great.
And we'll edit that out.
Yeah. I was kidding.
The Burlington Sound of Music Festival does not condone drug use or paraphernalia of any kind. Hey, Jamie, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Oh, geez, I haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, that's fair. No one has.
Yeah.
If you had $1 million, we know you'd be rich, but how would you spend that $1 million?
Gee whiz. I would travel like crazy with my family. This is a sign I'm getting old. I would save it. I would invest most of it.
Really?
How boring is that?
Yeah. See, I was going to say the correct answer is you take me to Cabo San Lucas.
Okay. That's
what all of us.
Yeah. Perfect. All deal. Of us. Yeah. Pinky swear, if that happens, it's on.
Done.
Okay. Can you tell us a joke?
Oh, geez. Sure. I love telling jokes. I have to find a clean one because I tell bad jokes, worse jokes, and if I'm drinking, dirty jokes.
We can, I'll find like an edit button to beep out the swears and the dirty stuff. And man. No,
you know what's going to be funny is sure. all the people that know me that happen to listen to this will be like, I can't believe you flinched because I've always got a joke to tell.
Oh, it's no
one
way.
Of my favorite things. I got it from my dad. Yeah. My dad had a new joke every day.
So you were learning about
Okay, well, I was going to do, I'll tell you a U2 joke.
Okay.
I'll keep it brief because you probably want it. Bono this on the
was
edge.
Supposed to be rapid fire, but you know.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, all right. My
no,
bad.
It's good. No, I'll make it brief. Go.
No.
Bono on the edge walk into a bar. The bartender says, oh no, not you two again.
Oh, wow.
I warned you.
Here, hold on. Needs a.
It did not deserve
All right.
That.
Here's a great question because I know you're a big fan of music as we all are. Otherwise, we wouldn't have you on the show just because, you know, we don't pick anybody, just anyone for a guest. Okay. This is.
No, we only.
That's
pick
not
the
what
people
I thought when
say
you told
yes.
me.
Very, there's a very rigorous screening process.
Okay. 100%.
Which usually ends with whoever didn't turn us down is our guest.
Correct.
So if you could wipe any one band or album from history, who would it be?
I wouldn't get rid of any music. Not
really?
Not to give a hokey answer, but I have too much love and respect for whatever someone puts out. I don't care if it's karaoke. If someone wants to try and entertain another human being, so be it.
Wow, you're a better person than me.
Let it be.
I would be wiping the Spice Girls right off this map. If you could sit in on any band for one song, what would be
Foo
the band?
Fighters.
Oh, yeah?
Foo Fighters.
What
Absolutely.
Song?
Absolutely. Probably Learn to Fly.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah. Nice. Cool.
Do you ever see when they broke that Guinness Book of Record, they had like 250 people playing drums and 250 people playing guitar and singers, and they all played Learning to Fly?
It was a really cool awesome. Video. I did see that. That was really
super
cool.
Super cool. I love that video where Dave Grohl gets, he calls him Kiss Guy.
Yes.
He comes up on the stage. He's got the Kiss makeup and he just starts.
And he was awesome.
Yeah.
He was awesome. So I have to confess, I know this is supposed to be fast, but. This is the most embarrassing, one of the most embarrassing stories. This is how much I have a man crush on Dave Grohl.
We haven't even started with the embarrassing stories.
Okay,
yet.
Good.
No,
well,
and
then
nothing
let
will
me start
Eddie Van Halen over here.
Let
so.
Me start it that way. I think my man crush for Dave Grohl is even bigger than yours for Eddie Van Halen.
Really?
I think that could be.
Really?
So Kiss Guy was out right before, that wasn't long before the Toronto show, the last Toronto show, and I was going to it and I was all excited. I came pretty close to making a sign because we had floor seats and I knew we were getting there early and we were going to be up close. I was almost going to make a sign because I wanted to be that guy.
Oh,
in
no.
fact, anytime I'm at a gig of any time kind and I'm playing a Foo Fighters song, I do this long speech to say, Oprah Winfrey says, whatever you put into the universe will make it so. So I tell everybody that Oprah Winfrey says this and I'm telling the universe, I want to be the guy that gets up and jams with Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
All right.
So I almost made a sign for that concert that said, forget about Kiss Guy, pick this guy.
Whoa.
Nice. I love that.
Whoa. But then you know what happened?
What was the almost? What stopped you?
What stopped me was I finally had this feeling. You're a grown man and you're 47 years old and you're gonna be like a 13-year-old girl at a Bieber concert.
You
you're gonna bring a sign.
Ass adult.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, so I don't regret that. As much as I would love to get up and jam with those guys. I'm really glad I didn't bring that sign.
Yeah, well, listen, Jamie, I mean, I'm a grown-ass guy, too, and I've got a picture of me and Eddie Van Halen on my desk.
There it
okay?
is.
But
so,
that's cool. That's not... That's
oh,
not,
that was 25 minutes in, Brent. That's a new record for having not mentioned Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, it's true.
Well
it's true.
Done, sir.
Okay, back to the rapid fire.
Oh, yeah.
So, super amazing, really rich music scene in Hamilton, Burlington, yes. This whole area, Golden Horseshoe, a real yep. hotbed for some... Just
it's not rapid fire when you've got
talent.
A 3-minute delivery of
I know.
The question.
We'll wrap it up.
Good Lord.
So, favorite local band?
Chris Chambers Band.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They are great.
Yeah. Thursday nights down at Lou Dogs.
Cool.
They blow me away. I just sit and smile and just nice. Love it. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, fill in the blank. When I dance, I look like
blank.
Hell.
Good one.
All right, I'll take it.
What's the most interesting thing that you have in your wallet?
My wallet itself, it's cool, one of those clip ones it's the anti-Costanza wallet.
So it's all the cash and your money clip?
It's a money clip and the thing to hold all your cards.
Yeah,
that's
nice.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a simple man of simple tastes.
I like it.
We like that about him. hey, if you could be a member of any TV sitcom family, which family would it be?
Oh boy. Maybe like Jack Tripper's brother or something. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Let's come back and talk about Alex B. Keaton later.
Yes.
So I think I know the answer to this because you've kind of already alluded to it, but we talked about the first concert. What's the best concert that you've ever been to?
Okay. That's a tie.
Foo Fighters?
It was, lo and behold, Fighters.
Yep.
It was the Foo Fighters at Lee's Palace. It was a win to get in kind of thing.
Okay.
And they were, I forget which album it was, but the first half they played the album front to back. And
wow.
then they played a bunch of random songs after. And they were typical Foo Fighters and just loving to be there. We're in a bar, like there's, what's they hold, 600-700 people maybe. And it was awesome. It was just a phenomenal concert. The second one, which is a exact tie, is my wife and I run a fundraiser called Let's Shake. I'll put a plug for that. And the Trues played at it for us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they were
a great show.
Same thing. I mean, they played as though they were auditioning to see if they're going to make it as a band or not. Like, they just brought it. And they didn't hold... It wasn't a shorter show. It wasn't a... They killed it. It was so good.
Yeah. So, John Angus, if you're listening, you've just been attributed to the same level as the Foo Fighters.
Absolutely.
So, well done.
Thanks. I dragged it out. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Rapid.
No. We're not good at the rapid fire.
No. That was so. I want to come back to you alluded to Let's Shake, the fundraising event that you run. This is a really awesome story. Can you tell us a little bit about how this was conceived, what it's grown to be, what you guys are doing? Because this is impressive stuff you guys are doing in the community.
Thanks. I appreciate you bringing that up. It's a labor of love for us for sure. I'll try to make it as brief as I can, but in 2011...
Oh, we have all the time in the world.
it's one of the things I tend to babble about. But in 2011, my wife was unfortunately diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Quite a shock, to say the least. She was a very healthy 45-year-old beautiful woman with 3 kids and 4, if you include me. And so we were pretty surprised and stunned. And a pretty common response to a lot of people when they are diagnosed is they don't want anybody to know. And not sure why that is with that disease, but it's pretty common. And likewise, we took almost a year to kind of get our head around it. And, the doctor said, just go live your life and stay off the internet. So, of course, we jumped right on Google, as everyone
Dr.
does.
Dr. Google, yep.
And I literally got goosebumps when I found out about the Light of Day Foundation. And I'd kind of heard of them before, but realized that every disease, every ailment seems to have their caveat for fundraising and for the flag that they wave. You know, cancer has their walks and, MS has their Terry Fox runs, that sort of thing. And to find out that music was attached with Parkinson's disease, it literally just, I had goosebumps. So immediately when I saw that, I thought of, being a proud Hamiltonian. Immediately in my head thought, we got to get Teenage Head and we'll call it Let's Shake.
Nice.
And so to put together Let's Shake, because we wanted to thumb our nose at the disease and take it head on. And so Let's Shake was born. A bunch of friends came around the kitchen table and Kim said, okay, I'm ready to tell everybody and we're going to raise money. So we decided, what are we going to raise the money for? So Kim was at her specialist appointment in London, Ontario. Her specialist is an absolute rock star. His name is Dr. Mander Jog. He's well known all over the world, and he does phenomenal research right in his clinic there in London. And so we said to him, hey, we're planning to have a fundraiser. We don't know what we're going to raise. If we're going to raise $2,000 or $3,000, it's partly to kind of announce to people that this is what we're going through, and it's partly because we want to do our part. Where do you think the money should go? Like, should we send the money to, Canadian Parkinson's Foundation, or where's it going to get? We want it to go to good use. And he had the funniest response. He said, well, if I could give you my sales pitch, we do have a foundation here. He says, and for $8,000, we have a sponsorship program that you can sponsor a student to be able to work under my wing for the summer. So it's a summer placement for one of the pre-med students at Western. We absolutely lit up, because the thought that here's this rock star researcher, and as all these great brains are coming up through Western, to be able to take one of those brains and say, hey, maybe you're going to be the next generation of researchers in the Parkinson's world. We were like, okay, we are in. Like, we're nice. Feet and hands both completely in. So that became our goal, was to raise $8,000 to be able to sponsor a student. We didn't know what to expect. We hoped to get a couple of hundred people out for the first one. We were blown away. The response and the love that the community and our friends and family showed us is just absolutely, to this day, blows us away. The first event, we had over 500 people.
Wow.
We raised $25,000. We're now just completed our seventh year. We've raised over $300,000 to date. And every penny goes to Dr. Jog and his research. And I'll tell you, he treats every penny like it's a million. Like, he is so careful with every penny that he gets. It's not like he just takes it and, you know, throws it in the wind and let's try this, let's hope. He'll take, if we give him $50,000, which we have been in the last few years, he'll take 10 or 15 of it, come up with enough data and enough research to be able to go to big companies, to government, and to et cetera, and say, look, I have the research that backs this project I want to do. I want to carry it forward. And he'll turn that 10 or 15 or 20 into 200 or 300.
That's very cool.
So yeah. It's pretty exciting.
Good
so,
for you.
Thanks for bringing it up.
When does the event, when does it usually happen?
It usually happens in April. So okay. We've done seven, and we really kind of blew this message. A lot of people, so last year we announced that it was our last year in that format, because we've done a sit down dinner and formalities and, silent and live auction. We just wanted to change it up because it was the seventh year and we found we wanted to be different. So a lot of people thought we weren't doing it at all. But we in fact are. And so this year it is Saturday, June 13th, and is going to be at the West Avenue Cidery out in Flamborough. So we're pretty excited about that.
Nice.
That would be the same day as the Burlington Sound of Music Festival.
It's not.
It is indeed.
It is indeed. That would be the day of our ticketed kickoff event.
I should have known that before I came here. You know, well, what? All kidding aside, we
ladies and
we
gentlemen,
honestly,
that's all the time we have for today.
Get out.
Get out.
We just might actually change our date. We haven't done a, let's TBA on this.
Let's
we haven't
TBA on it.
Oh,
so you know how, man. Brent, how I always make everything about me, and you typically always go, Miles, what haven't you done? So, Parkinson's, I am the former deputy CEO of the Parkinson's Society of Alberta.
Wow.
I held that position for quite some time. I worked with Dr. Oksana Sikorsky, who is the chief neurologist of the Alberta Health Services. My grandmother actually passed away from complications of Parkinson's very later in life. So, near and dear to me as well. Cool music story. So, when I worked with the Parkinson's Society, the board came to me and said, we need to do something fun and cool and kind of similar to what you're talking about now. And I said, let's do a concert. And we were looking at different acts, and we ended up booking Foreigner for an Unplugged show. So it was Foreigner Unplugged, and it was super cool.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
But I stuck my foot in my mouth beautifully, because my father is a huge, huge, huge Foreigner fan. And Mick Jones, the founding guy of Foreigner, I bought this LP. And I was going to get it autographed because my dad is in Thunder Bay, Ontario, and I'm way out in Calgary. And it was my dad's birthday, so I was going to get this record autographed to Dave from Mick. And in the moment, I didn't know. I don't know. I went completely dumbstruck and starstruck. And I held up this record to Mick Jones and went, which one is you of the five – young, good-looking men on the front of this record because he's now quite old, not quite in the shape that he was in. And he looked at me, and he could not have looked any more offended. And he just goes, what do you want me to write on it? Yeah. But it was an amazing show, and it was really cool. It was the five guys sitting on stools, and they played some tunes, and they told stories, and it was super cool. And it was all raising money for Parkinson's. And it
That's
was,
awesome.
There you go. Yeah. Wow. See how this comes together?
Yeah. It's all full circle.
Yeah, I love it.
Very cool.
I love it.
So what are you up to in the wide world of music?
Not too much. The Crank is keeping fairly busy. We're very fortunate. We're having a lot of fun to get, four guys together that can get along and, play the same kind of music. And
musicians don't and actually get along.
No, I know.
You're a liar.
Well, listen, you're using a strong word to call musicians, but actually, no, those guys are. I'm the guy that hangs out with the musicians. But no, we're very fortunate. We're pretty busy with Crank. And then I've also been fortunate enough to be pretty busy. I do a duo with Jeff Astle, good friend of mine, and I've been doing some with my buddy Michael Abdallah, who's another phenomenal local guy that's a friend and musician. And so I do the four piece and then a couple duos. And just this summer, I started doing some solo stuff just to
segue, because I see that you've brought in this very pretty. What kind of guitar is this?
Well, this is my pride and joy. This is a custom made guitar from Lucene Guitars in Oakville. Who has built a guitar. I believe he's going to kill me for not knowing this. I believe he made one for Sammy Hagar.
Don't start with the Hagar stuff.
No, keep the Hagar stuff coming.
Oh, do you like Van Halen?
A bit. Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't really aware of that.
Bit, yeah.
No, but again, great local story. Garen DeKessian is the gentleman's name. He called the company Lucene Guitars after his mother.
Nice.
And he makes unbelievable guitars. He's built them. I mean, if you go on his website and see the guitars he built for Zakk Wylde.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He built the Buzzsaw.
Nice.
Like I wish I could have seen. I don't know if he has a video of how he did it. It blows my mind.
Incredible.
But yeah, so we became friends years ago. I thought, I always want to have one of these guitars, and finally it happened. So that is my
that's cool.
My beauty. He part of his tradition of honoring his mom is he typically will put your mother's name in the 12th fret.
That's very cool.
Embedded in Mother of Pearl.
Nice.
So, Ian Thornley, for example, has one. Judy. Alex Lifeson has, I forget his mom's name now. But he's built them for Alex Lifeson from
Rush.
That's
very cool.
Anyways, yeah, they're absolutely incredible. So this is my Lucene guitar.
I love it. So if we leave it unattended in the room with our custom Hamilton Cithara guitar,
yes.
will they fight? Is that like...
Oh, no.
No, I feel like they'll be good friends. They're good friends.
They're good friends now.
Yep, they'll hang out, they'll party, they might drink a little too
much. They might drink a little too much. Yeah. Well, Jamie, why don't you do a tune for us?
Okay.
So ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the Somme Sessions studio, we have Jamie Petrie of Crank the Band.
Oh, boy. Well, this is one I always like to play when I play live, because my darling wife is not only a saint for putting up with me, but she lets me play quite a bit. I'm pretty busy, and so this was our wedding song, Little Blue Rodeo song.
Nice.
Strange and beautiful are the stars tonight that dance around your head. And in your eyes I see that perfect world. I hope that doesn't sound too weird, but I want all the world to know that your love's all I need, all that I need. Yeah, if we're lost, then we are lost together. Yeah, if we're lost, then we are lost together. Stand before this faceless crowd. I wonder why I bother. So much controlled by so few, stumbling from one disaster to another. But I've heard it all so many times before. It's all a dream to me now, a dream to me now. Yeah, if we're lost, then we are lost together. Yeah, if we're lost, then we are lost together. In the silence of this whispered night, I listen only to your breath. And in that second of a shooting star, somehow it all makes sense. But I want all the world to know that your love's all I need, all that I need. Yeah, if we're lost, then we are lost together. Yeah, if we're lost, then we are lost together. Well, yeah, if we're lost, then we are lost together, together, together.
Bravo.
Nice.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Well awesome. Done. That was great.
Thanks.
That was really great. And that guitar sounds gorgeous.
Thank you. It sounds better when other guitar players play it. There's a lot more notes in it, but I love it. I really, it is a something that I, you know, maybe it's an heirloom.
Now,
pass it down to the kids. Even.
I was going to say heirloom. You come from a little bit of, I'm going to call it musical royalty.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you saying that.
I cyber stalked the hell out of you before we got in here.
Wow, craziness. Yeah. My dad was a local country and western musician. Jack Petrie and the Maritimers was the name of his band, and he played around, you know, all over Ontario for probably 50 years or so. And so, growing up, you know, my fondest memories, there was always a bottle of whiskey and a bunch of beers and a bunch of musicians sitting around our kitchen table and playing music. And then that inspired my brother and I. My brother is my absolute music hero. My brother's toured all over the world, and another local guy, Steve Petrie. And so, yeah, I grew up watching my dad and then watching my brother just light it up. And he's
nice.
Something else.
I awesome. Think Steve's played the festival at some point.
I believe he has a couple times.
Yeah. The name definitely looks familiar from somewhere within the festival.
Yeah.
Hey, while you have that beautiful guitar out, this is one of the favorite parts of the show for me. give a listen to one of my favorite. Here we go. That's right, folks. It is once again time for Teach Brent Guitar.
Yeah, it sure is.
Love it.
Oh,
yeah.
I do.
I love it less. I love it less.
I love it so much. It brings me joy in between when we record these things. So, and every time, like, I do this big, long opening for it, expecting that maybe Brent would turn and pick up the guitar in this time.
Yeah.
And he never, ever
I know.
Does.
I know. You're right. It's just because I'm like super
like
nervous.
I ramble about yeah. it and I'm waiting and I'm like, he's gonna pick up the guitar.
In fairness, you ramble about
there it is. There it is.
Yeah. See, I still don't have a lot of room here.
You're fine.
All right.
All kinds of room.
So, Jamie, the way this is going to work is you're going to get about 5 minutes. You're going to teach Brent something on the guitar.
Something, anything.
Okay. Keeping in mind that Brent does not really play the guitar, but he's getting there.
No, I'm not even getting there.
He has been taught G chord, D chord, C add 9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He doesn't know a C, but he can do C add 9. You're in tune. I gave you that much.
Is that my G? How's that?
That's your G.
Sounds like a G, yeah.
I can't remember the C add 9. You found the G.
So he's done a couple of strumming patterns. Annette Haas taught him some Bob Marley.
Yeah, that went horribly wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you been practicing? Can you give that one to us?
Not even a bit.
No. So it's over to you, Jamie.
Wow. You know the bumper sticker that says, don't follow me, I'm lost too?
Yeah.
That's you and me right now, man.
Yeah.
No, you're a huge Van Halen fan. I'm going to teach you the solo. To Panama.
Are you kidding?
Can you just
me?
Yes, I'm completely kidding. I'm horrible. I'm not a guitar player. Part of why I started playing solo this summer was to force me out of my comfort zone to play to be able to play a little bit of guitar. So,
yeah, so you thought it would be wise on this show to challenge me with playing a solo.
No, I can't play a solo. I can't even play now. Sorry for all the Neil Young fans out there, and I love Neil Young.
No,
not even a Neil Young fan. You know the
Yeah.
That's about as good of a, you know, that would pass as a, maybe that's my teaching you. Okay, just put
kinda
your fingers.
Sounded like Brent playing there.
And just, there you go. We're going to do a. No, that's too complicated. That's too much. Yeah, he doesn't do that much. Much. You're doing way too much. Just one string. One string.
Tone it back.
Like this?
Just go on any of them. It doesn't matter. In fact, untune your guitar.
Yeah.
Untune it and then just. There we go. There's our Neil Young solo.
I say with respect, this is the worst Teach Brent guitar yet.
Well, I'm not surprised. And here I am. Here I am. Do you know how many of my albums Neil Young has?
Oh, probably all of them.
None. I'm sure. Oh. Well, there are none. There aren't any. So,
yeah.
One of the most successful musicians in the world, and I'm poking fun at him. But that's what we're doing, right?
No, it's okay. Eddie Van Halen has pictures of me on his wall.
It's true. Yeah.
Is it that one?
Yeah.
Is it that picture?
Yeah.
I bet he does.
Yep.
All right, what do you got for him?
Well, you know what? Honestly, it's you already kind of stole my thunder because, you know, the G?
Yeah.
And the D?
Oh, that's not good.
That was it. Home run.
That's pretty good. And the C?
Is that a G? Is that a D?
That's a D.
I'll be coming why does it not sound good? Next year.
What?
Campfire chords, baby.
Campfire. Oh, 100%.
There's a million songs you can 100%. Play on campfire chords. So you can just leave it on the G, keep the G, and we can play a little hip, little.
Yeah.
Well, I think that there's a problem here. Her voice just don't sound right. But I left my cell phone on her answering machine. Said I'm back in town tonight. Play your C now.
Oh, I forget the C.
Okay, then do your C. Just drop these two down. Just move these two fingers.
Oh, we're getting fancy.
Each down one string.
Fancy.
No, keep your G. And then just move these two string fingers down one string each.
Like that.
Yeah.
Hey, there he goes.
Feel a step out of the wilderness, all squint-eyed and confused.
Love it.
Back to G. Babies raised by wolves, they know exactly when they've been used. There you go, man.
Yeah.
Just work on your G, C, and D.
Yeah.
And there's like
and even though you can play every single 90s song ever.
Well, yeah. those also sound like a lot of my grades in high school, so I should be right up there.
Yeah. Yeah,
cool.
Moi aussi.
So legit, with my C's and G's and D's, I can play so many songs.
You can even play some Foo Fighters.
Yeah, really.
Eh? Oh.
They've got...
We could do times like these.
Yeah.
Because that's easy too. When you're playing your D, you just let these two up. I'm a one-way motorway. Oops, I did it wrong. Wait a minute. Oh, see, I'm screwing it up now.
So you said you were better than Kiss Guy.
Oh, it's A.
Uh-oh.
No, I didn't say I was better than Kiss Guy. I just said don't
pick
Kiss Guy.
Pick this guy.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Next year?
Oh, no, there's Name Iron. Never mind.
Next year is just GCD. Or GGDC. I'll be coming home next year.
Yeah, there's yeah. a million songs. In fact, you can even can Google three chord songs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like tons of them.
Have you ever heard the video of the three guys that they do every song from the 90s using three chords?
Yeah.
It's a great video.
The Three Chords of Destiny or something like that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I think it's four.
Yeah.
I think it might be four.
All right. You good? Ladies and gentlemen.
Great.
That has been... Brent is now a 90s superstar.
I truly laughed
just like that
in the deepest core of my being when you told me that I was going to try and teach Brent, or anyone for that matter, anything on the guitar.
I mean, Dr. Disc taught him how to spin.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we scratched the records. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I killed that. Like, I killed that.
I
have
no doubt.
No.
Yeah.
You,
no, I did.
You fully did not.
Yeah. Let's just say I was better on the record scratching than I was on the guitar playing.
Oh, well.
All right.
Jamie, what's your, I think we asked you, do you have gigs over the holidays? Do you have anything coming up?
We've got the 20th of Pub Fiction with a full band, and then the 27th of, I believe it's a Friday,
yeah,
the
27th. Yeah.
I'm at Blue Collar Pub.
Right.
Really cool spot on the mountain just off.
So how long have you been playing with these four guys?
Oh, geez. Well, Len, the drummer, and I are friends since grade 8, grade 9. We've been, you know, jammed in high school together, and we've been playing out in bars for 23 years now.
Nice.
Roughly, somewhere around there, with a little, you know, hiatus for maybe 2 years. But Jerry, a bass player, has been with us now for, God, 15 years, I think. And Shane has been with us for two or three. We've had a couple of other guitar players over the years. But, yeah. Long time, having fun.
I'm on your website here. Len looks like a drummer. Like, he looks like every drummer I've ever known.
Yeah.
He just looks like, you look at that guy and you're like, you clearly play the drums.
Yep, he does. And we call him Bam Bam sometimes because he gets pretty excited and he likes to hit him.
That's great.
Yeah. It's also nice.
A whole bunch.
Len also resembles a bouncer. So if we're in, you know.
Yeah, I could see that.
One of those bars, it's like, I don't think we'll, you know, so some bars are a little, you know, scarier than others. And we're like, we're good. We got Len. Len, you go in first.
Yeah, nice. It gets a bit sketchy. You got Len.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do you got one more tune in you could do for us?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure. I could do that.
I think you should.
Okay.
All right. Give it hell.
Can I tell you another quick joke beforehand?
Oh, I wish you would.
This is another tradition of mine.
Hold on. I'm going to queue up my... okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This might take you over time because this is a longer one.
Anytime
I do a U2 song, I have to tell a cheesy U2 joke. So,
okay.
So U2 is playing in Scotland, which is already tough because, you know, Irish and Scottish, you know, they don't really get along that well. So it's been an okay night, but it's starting to go pretty well. But Bono, of course, goes on one of his political rants and the whole place is kind of quiet and they're waiting, you know, just get back to the music. And finally, he's standing in the middle of the stage and he's just clapping his hands like every second or so. And the whole place is dead quiet going, what's he doing? Now, I can't do accents, so bear with me here. Finally, after like a minute of this, he approaches the mic and he says, every time clap my hands, a baby in Africa dies. And this drunk Scotsman in the front row yells up, well, for God's sake, man, stop clapping your hands then.
Whoa.
Home run.
Told you. Worse. This is actually, this might be one of my favorite, well, it's definitely one of my favorites, but maybe my favorite U2 song from the Joshua Tree.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the Psalm Session Studios, Jamie Petrie.
So she woke up from where she was, lying still, said, I've gotta do something about where we're going. Step on a steam train, step out of the driving rain, maybe run from the darkness in the night, singing ah, ah la 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 today, ah la 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 today, ah la la today. Sweet the sin bitter the taste in my mouth. I see seven towers, but I only see one way out. You gotta cry without weeping, talk without speaking, scream without raising your voice. You know I took the poison from the poison stream, then I floated out of here singing ah, ah la 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 today, ah la 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 today, ah la la today. She walks through the streets, her eyes painted red, under black ballet cloud in the rain. And through a doorway, she brings me white gold and pearls stolen from the sea. She's raging, she's raging, and the storm blows up in her eyes. She will suffer the needle chill. She's running to stand still.
Nice.
Love that.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to be brutally honest here. When we had you set up earlier, you retuned your guitar to standard tuning. So as you started that song, I was like, I wonder if he remembers that he's not tuned down anymore, because that gets pretty high in the middle. And as you were coming up to it, I'm like, oh, here it comes. He's going to nailed it. Like, oh, well done.
Thank you very much.
That was great.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Awesome.
I forgot.
Hey!
Oh, hey! Woo! I don't get to push the buttons too often, so when I get to, I need to be more on it. That was great. That was really good.
Thank you very much.
Wow. Wow.
Appreciate that.
Cool. When is your third album coming out? Soon? Or?
No, I don't think so. After I win that $1 million.
Yeah, after
I win
that million. That's what you can do with some
of that
money.
That's what you
can do with it. That's it.
So absolutely. You can pump out an album.
Yeah.
Hey, thinking of albums, that's a segue.
We'll edit that. Full disclosure.
No, I always leave it in when you make mistakes.
Miles is a killer at the segues. Killer.
It's true.
Love it.
And if you don't have one, you just hit this button.
Turn down for what?
Yeah.
That's a good gap filler for sure.
Yeah.
Except it has nothing to do with what we're about to talk about.
No.
Still fun.
So, thinking about albums. So, Metallica's Black Album. Brent was just reading something today that this album has spent 550 weeks, which is 10 and a half years, on the Billboard Top 200 charts.
Wow.
Like
550.
10 years.
Think about that.
That's staggering.
10 years.
That's
insane.
Yeah.
That's like... That album's been on the charts more than my daughter's been on this earth.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Wow.
It is
that's a good album. That's pretty impressive.
It's like, to me, that came out at kind of pinnacle Metallica time. Like, I thought that was one of their best albums. I loved Ride the Lightning.
Well, I think that the Black Album is really what kind of propelled them into mainstream stardom, right? They were more that, I don't want to say, not underground, but they were a bit more niche-y metal focused, and they didn't have the audience of the masses that they
absolutely
that they had. But after that,
I think it was
all the
Napster downloads, I think.
Yeah.
Popular.
Yeah.
For those of you listening who are younger than the age of 35, Napster.
That just dated myself.
Yeah.
Now you can hear the gray hairs
Napster
in me coming through.
Napster
was
a thing that we would use. I remember Napster.
We were stealing music way before you guys.
No, The Sound of Music does not condone the stealing of music.
No, we don't. No, nor do I. No.
Yeah,
I like to laugh to keep us from crying because
I know. Right?
I mean, I think we could go on and on and on about that. And it's I really hope the day comes that it becomes full circle. All I know, we're trying to keep it light and fun.
No,
it's not too serious, but it absolutely destroys my soul that we are losing. Literally losing generations of geniuses because it is too difficult for true musicians to make a living in this business. And there's no other industry in this world that we, you know, openly steal from or allow. You know, imagine a grocery store that the owner of the grocery store was a billionaire and all of the farmers and the people who stock the shelves couldn't even put food on their table, but they were providing all of the food for everyone to eat, and everyone went and ate for, you know, instead of spending $200 on groceries, you spent 14 cents.
Yeah.
And everybody be really happy with that, wouldn't they? But it's anyways, I could go on and on. It sickens me and it terrifies me. So we got to fix it.
You're not wrong.
No, I agree fully. And we had Dr. Dismark on the show a couple of episodes ago. And this is something that we talked about, you know, the longevity of his store. He's had to obviously diversify a little, and he's selling some DJ equipment and other gear and other things. But the foundation of his store is albums and CDs and people actually, you know, buying tactile music. And I've been a customer of his for 25 plus years, and I still to this day am one of those people that goes into the store and buys CDs.
Love it.
Yeah.
See, and I'll pick up the odd record still, but usually if I'm record shopping, like I'm looking for mostly older jazz. Like I love old jazz. I've got a ton of opera records. I don't know. I like opera a lot, so I've got. I'm a classically trained musician, so I've got a lot of opera. But I know we talked about this with Mark, and that you know, the scratches and the pops in the old records, like it adds a whole new level of enjoyment to music where. Now with our Spotify, like you can listen to so much and there's so much out there that you almost don't get that same joy of rifling through and, oh, what is this? Oh yeah, I got to check that out. That's cool. And,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's not there anymore. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Spotify. Like I've found some really cool bands through Spotify. I often find too that because I'm a bit of a narcissist, shut up, Brent, that I'll find a band on Spotify and I'll be like, oh my God, these guys are great. And then I'll go tell everybody about them. And it's like, in my mind, I just discovered this band and I'm propelling their careers. And then people will be like, yeah, I've got all 9 of their albums and they've been around forever. But I like to think that it's me, that I've propelled their careers.
It is you.
The other piece though, like I guess this is what I love and hate at the same time is, I do feel that with all of this Spotify and access to music and everything, I find a lot of the classics are getting lost because there's so much content out there and, you know, there's new stuff coming out and there's all these genres and everything and it's all right there at your fingertips that, you know, it's tough to get people listening to the Van Halens even. And like we talked about how nobody's really bringing back this sound and classic rock and... There's a few that sort of dabble into it. I find like Monster Truck has a bit of that classic rock sound to them.
Big time.
Greta Van Fleet, although you're not allowed to say they sound like Led Zeppelin. They get all mad.
But they can get mad all they want. They absolutely sound
like... I know,
right? And you know what? Like, if that's the worst thing in the world, here's my 2 cents on that. If 21-year-old kids are... How old are they?
Yeah, they are. They're like 20-something.
If they're sitting around and they're not sitting around anymore, but when they started, if they're sitting around and they're cranking out loud rock and roll music and sounding like Led Zeppelin.
Right.
God bless them. There's way worse things in this world.
But in the interviews, they're like, oh, we hate being compared to Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Then don't sound like Led Zeppelin.
Exactly like them. Sorry. But they're great.
Whatever. And then we're losing so many great, great musicians. We just heard the news that Mary Fredrickson from Roxette died
of
a brain tumor. And I mean, I love Roxette. I don't know if we talked about this on the show before, but like my dad loves all things rock, classic rock. And I can remember he's a big like hi-fi stereo guy. And one of his first big ever like home theater setups and everything, I can remember listening to Joyride by Roxette over and over and over again. And then do you remember the song Wild One? It was not Roxette, but Wild One.
Yep.
I'm a real wild one.
Yep.
So my dad would turn that song on and he would stand in front of the bloody stereo. And I know he's listening because he actually listens to all of our podcasts.
He does. He's a big fan.
He is. So he would stand in front of the bloody stereo and just hit rewind and it would go, I'm a real wild one, wild one. I'm a real wild one, wild one. And he would have it so loud that the house is shaking. But I remember that specific song. And I remember Joyride was always playing. Like Roxette was great. But another one, we're losing so many great classic musicians. Doris or Cranberries? Dolores.
Yep.
Dolores.
Yep.
From the Cranberries, like another one, same era. And I don't know. It's sad. I wish somebody would revive that whole piece.
Absolutely.
Of
the and it's time. It's only, you know, when you look at the generation and the ages, unfortunately, you know, how many of those genius musicians were from the same era. So I hate to even say it, but everyone's like, oh, you know, 2017 was horrible. We lost this person, this person. And it's not going to stop because they're all the same generation and we're going to be losing them more and more. And
except Keith Richards and Sammy Hagar. They'll go on forever.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Sammy will live to be 100 at least.
Yep.
Actually, though, thinking of coming back, New Year's in Niagara, Mr. Brian Adams is going to be playing.
What?
Yeah, he's playing the Niagara Falls annual New Year's outdoor bash.
Yeah.
Love it.
What's that broadcast on CHTV every year? And
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I might go down. I would love to go down.
Thousands of people
one.
Out there in the cold.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going down to that one.
Oh, yeah, I'm not. No, I've got New Year's plans, don't I?
Mm. Yeah, you do.
Is there going to be Cabo Wabo at... I don't drink tequila, so I don't care if there is.
Oh,
no? Yeah,
so
no.
Good.
And yes, there will be.
And yes, there will be.
And pierogies?
And pierogi.
The pirog.
The pirog. Yeah. The perehe. But I'm more excited about Brian Wilson. Brian Adams than the New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Yeah, Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve, you know, that I think it was Ryan Seacrest been hosting that for the last number of years. They just announced it's going to be Sheryl Crow and Usher.
And Usher. I'm not excited about that at all. And I think Sheryl Crow is so badly tainted for me. So way back in the day, I was a karaoke DJ for years.
Nice.
And when you are a male karaoke DJ who can moderately sing, every single woman in the place will come up to you and say, do you want to sing Summer Nights from Grease or Picture by Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow?
Right.
Those were the two songs that if I ever hear them again, I will lose my mind. And I feel like at some point on that evening, we're going to hear Sheryl Crow and Usher do Picture.
Oh, so wait a second. Ooh. You're the karaoke DJ that could moderately sing?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hold on. Where's my obvious sound effect for you? I don't know. I could moderately sing.
Yeah.
And moderately play guitar.
Yeah.
Wow. So Brent's just a little bit upset because once upon a time we were on a bit of a road trip down to St. Catharines where we saw Elton John.
Nice.
And I had a guitar and a few too many drinks on the party bus. And I made up a song about Brent wearing pocket
squares. About my pocket square.
Yeah. And this day, I have never seen Brent wear a pocket square.
Scarred for life.
Again.
Yeah.
That sounds like win-win to me because entertaining song and no pocket
square. Pocket square. Yeah. I like my pocket squares.
Yes.
I do too. I'm only kidding.
Yeah. Until I ruin them for you.
Yeah.
Huh.
Sorry about that.
Well, that's okay because in the final piece of music news, I just want to say that I'm still happy to be stuck with you. Go ahead. Share it.
What? Which? Which? What? What?
Sure. I'm happy to be stuck with
you. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know where we were going with this. Actually, so this is one of my guilty pleasure bands as we talk about the greats. Huey Lewis has put out a brand new album.
Amazing.
Now, Huey can't tour anymore because has hearing issues?
He's got severe hearing loss, yeah.
He is probably one of the very few kind of classic rock acts that I really regret not going to.
Yep.
I would have loved to have seen Huey Lewis in the news.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. If you remember back to, remember the show Toronto Rocks that was on City TV?
Totally.
With J.D. Roberts.
I used to race home from school to watch it and tape it on our Betamax video.
It's like, I think of shows like Toronto Rocks and the early days of Much Music.
Yeah.
And it was the Huey Lewis videos and, you know, bands like that that were just playing over and over and over again. And I don't know. I couldn't get enough of watching that stuff.
Yeah. I loved them. We watched We've been trying to go back and watch all the like great 70s, 80s and some 90s movies with my daughter. And we put on Back to the Future and she's like rocking along to all the music, and tons of the music in that movie is Huey Lewis. And
yeah.
So I'm playing Huey Lewis for her in the car. And like, I'm really trying to program her to stay away from pop music and enjoy some classics. And yeah, Huey Lewis, I could have gone to see him. Must have been like 15, 16 years ago. And at the time, I was like, no, I don't want to go. And I didn't. And I kicked myself to this day that I could have gone and didn't.
Yeah. Jamie, who have you not seen that you really regret or really wish that you had taken the opportunity?
Surprisingly, the Stones. I'm not a huge Stones fan, but I think that's just, again, one of those bands you got to see. I mean, gee, I'm going to think about this when we're done here, because there are a few that I'm like, same sort of scenario like, what was I doing that I wasn't there, that I didn't go there.
Yeah. But, well, and it was far more affordable still, relative scale wise, to see some of those bands even then in the height of their popularity. We were just talking about this new mega throwback 80s metal tour that's Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, and Joan Jett. That's big stadium tour coming next summer. Yeah. And that package is commanding $3.5 million per show is what they're getting paid to be booked at these stadiums.
Crazy. Wow. Yeah. See, that'll be my answer, you know, years from now when we're saying, hey, you know, remember you didn't go? Now it's the $350 ticket. That's like, I'm not going.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's like zero chance I'm going to that show.
No, we were just talking about this, my wife and I. So I can recall, it would have been about 15 years ago, like when my wife and I were just dating, and we used to drive around, and for just reasons unknown, the three CDs I had in my car were Five for Fighting, David Gray, and Matt Dusk. And so I actually went and saw Matt Dusk this past weekend, and he was great. But David Gray is going to be playing Bud Stage, and, you know, Christmas is coming. And I thought, well, you know, a bit of nostalgia for the two of us. I remember driving around, listening to the Alibi album. It was great. He's got such a cool voice. Tickets are $220 a piece.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he hasn't been in the market for years, and I can't justify dropping $500 for the two of us to go check that show out. Like, it's getting tough.
Yeah. It'll be $750 if you each have a beer.
Right? Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started there. So I was at City in Color about a month ago at the ACC, or it's not ACC anymore. What is it now?
Scotiabank Arena.
It'll always be the ACC. It'll always be the Pengrowth Saddle Dome. I will never change.
Sky Dome, Cops Coliseum.
I will never change. but yeah, you know, you go out to the bar and two tall boys of Coors Light was like $17.50. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is crazy. But yeah. Anyway, I digress. Now we're just three old men grumbling about the good old days. So
I don't stop buying the beers, though. I'm like,
no, what? No one does.
$15 each? That's outrageous. I'll take two.
Yes,
that's right. Yeah.
I might as well not line up. Yeah. And do you take bank card?
Yeah, and can I prepay for the ones I'm going to come back for in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And can I get a $37 popcorn on my way, too, please? Okay. I'll stop grumbling and whining. I am looking at the time, gentlemen, and it looks like we are coming to the end of our time here for this. This might be the last one before the holidays. So
I think it will.
Did you want to throw a Christmas shout out or any? I don't know. Christmas, good year, happy holiday, Hanukkah.
Well, I think you pretty much just covered it.
Happy Festivus.
Yeah, that's it.
Happy Festivus to the rest of us.
When is Festivus again? That's There's an actual date for it. Is it the 23rd?
I think you might be right.
Something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll let you know when I get out the poll and we'll the grievances. And do
the airing of the grievances. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, like Jamie Petrie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was fun.
Yeah, thanks very for much being for having here.
Great playing.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Where do we find out about your gigs and band and all that fun stuff?
The band, cranktheband.com.
Cranktheband.com.
Or cranktheband.ca, either one. We've married them together. Or Facebook is probably the easiest way.
Brilliant. What about you personally? Do you post your solo gigs?
I do post myself on my Jamie Petrie personal page. And I'm gonna actually put a website, because I am doing a few different things. So I'm going to have a website in the new year.
Nice.
I think it's jamiepetrie.ca. I think I'm going to have.
Love it.
I'm going to go buy that domain just in case he hasn't.
No, I already bought it.
Yeah, we're going to secure that right now.
jamiepetrie.ca, jamiepetrie.com, jamespetrie.ca was okay, but jamespetrie.com was gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who knew?
Let's go find that guy.
Yeah, really. He's got a lot of nerve.
That might have been the guy we meant to have on the show.
Could be.
Today.
Well,
could be.
And I especially dislike him because I heard he can play like 5 or 6 chords, not just 3 or 4. So I'm like, who is this guy?
Well, we'll have to get Imposter. Him on teaching me a lesson or two.
Yeah, he can
well,
teach
on that note, I think this went well. So you have earned your Sound of Music swag.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank Brent, you very much.
Brent, why don't you tell Jamie what we're sending him home with today?
Oh, yes. We're also going to be sending you home with a Sound of Music trucker hat and keychain, and we also have these are very limited in supply, so we've got a copy of American Idol season 8
I love
CD
it.
For you.
Yeah. Wow. Yes,
those
fantastic.
Are in limited supply. All right, that is all the time that we have. Thank you so much on behalf of myself, Miles, and my co-pilot.
Hey, it's Brent here.
I repeat that every time you say it, and I don't know why I do. And on behalf of our guest, Jamie Petrie, thank you all for listening. We'll be back after the Christmas holidays. And Merry Christmas, season's greetings, and all that fun stuff to ya. We are out.